found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. We're going to read verses 9 through 14. So if you read it with me together. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The word of the Lord, you may be seated. I invite Pastor Young to come forth and share with us the Scripture.
Good morning. Before I pray, again, thank you for those who helped move us in. I really appreciate it, and thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Let me pray for us before we begin, if you could join me in prayer. Our great God and Savior, do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine or think, according to the power that is at work within us. We need your help. I pray that your word will go with power and accomplish his purposes. Not just change our outside, but the inside, to make us more and more, conform more and more to image of your Son. Getting ready for us to live with you forever in heaven, in your kingdom. So I pray for help. I did not come with eloquent words or words of wisdom, but a demonstration of your Spirit's power. So Holy Spirit, come and do all kinds of things that you're so capable of doing by and through your word. Now I pray. All this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ. Amen. Many people in the church think that you learn and see Jesus mainly in the New Testament. That's not true. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he says afterwards that the world was made by Christ, by Jesus, through Christ, and in Christ. In fact, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, it says this, for by Jesus, by Christ, all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Christ and for Christ. And we saw last week, Pastor Tim, his message in Luke 8, we saw that Jesus was not just a man. He was not just a godly teacher or a rabbi. We saw that this man was a special man. This Jesus of Nazareth was doing things that no man could do. He would speak, and what he's speaking to the creation would obey by the power of his word. Winds and waves obey this man. This man, Jesus, is not just a man. He is the Creator God who made you in Christ. He made me in Christ. He made everything that we see, the universe, for the glory of God in Christ. He's not only the Creator, though. He is the High Priest. He is the King like King David. He is the Deliverer. Jesus is the perfect description of the law or righteousness. Jesus is the wisdom of God. And we shall see in this text, and we already have seen this already in the Old Testament, this man, Jesus, is a prophet. Now, when you hear the word prophet, what comes to your mind immediately? What comes to your mind? Maybe someone who predicts the future. Next slide. Well, woolly worms. Some people believe that woolly worms predict the future. I actually saw a woolly worm right outside our church, right out, you know, as you go through the, and I took a picture. October 29th, I took a picture. I was walking out, and then to the right of the wall, there was woolly worm. And some people believe that if you have a thicker, you can't really see it there, but if you have a thicker black band, you will have a harsh winter. If you have a thicker brown band, you have a milder winter. Now, it seems like it's a thicker brown than black. So I don't know how true that is. But people say woolly worms predict the future weather. Okay? But woolly worms, they're not a prophet, right? So we just can't categorize. Even though prophets do predict the future, you just can't say that's the only category what a prophet is, a biblical prophet. Maybe someone would say, a prophet is someone who teaches and preaches a proclamation of God's word. Right? God sends a prophet, a messenger. He gives him a message. And he's supposed to give that same message, not add to it, not subtract from it, to give the message from God to the people. Okay? So teaching and preaching. Well, Pastor Tim, he preaches and teaches. I preach and teach. Pastor Peter preaches and teaches. But we're not prophets. A biblical prophet, they do this. They predict the future, yes. They proclaim God's message, yes. But they do more. A biblical prophet announces the coming kingdom of God. The prophets not only simply predicted that Jesus will come. They did more. Prophet is telling us when this king comes. I saw this king. I saw his kingdom coming. And when this king comes, there's going to be changes. Things will be different. We have no justice in this world when this king comes. When this kingdom, his kingdom comes with his army, there will be justice. There will be righteousness. There will be peace. So it's not just predicting the future. It's not just teaching and preaching. It's telling when this king comes, when Jesus comes, he will assume control and he will rule over us. The times of men doing their own thing will come to an end. He will forever rule as a king. His kingdom will be forever. Look what he says in Prophet Ezekiel 36. Verses 26 and 27. Look what this prophet says when this king comes, when Jesus comes. Look at what he will do. Look at what will happen. He says, I will give you a new heart, a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove you a heart of stone from your flesh, to give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk, give you power to walk in my statutes and careful to obey my rules. I don't know about you, but when Jesus came to my life and to your life at the age of 19 in college, I was doing my own thing. I was ruling my life. I was organizing my life. You know, I thought to carve a history for me in this world and to be a somebody, you know, I thought I really wanted other people to think I was smart. I was telling the college group that, you know, Friday night. I really wanted, my passion, you know, was to create a person, okay, that will create, that people would like say, young. The first thing that comes to my mind when I look at young is, man, he's a smart guy. He will be successful. And I wanted that. I really wanted that. So I did everything. It was actually a very tiring life. It was an exhausting life. The heart of stone. That's what I wanted. Went to college. I got straight A's in high school. I thought I was smart. But I really knew I wasn't. You know, went to college. And I was drowning. You know, I just couldn't get the A. But I was living this image. I needed help. The physics. Oh, physics. Don't take physics. I just couldn't get... I mean, I think now, at the age of 44, I think I could get physics. I could learn it. But when I was, 18, 19, I just couldn't get it. It was just foreign. You know, the forces and, there's a force here and the force coming back from the... all that stuff. And I didn't know. I didn't need help. But I was building this image, you know. And so I needed help, but I couldn't get help because asking for help means I was weak. You know, I was prideful. The heart of stone. And when Jesus came into my life, he changed me. As the prophet said, he gave me a new heart. Not to center my life on me. I was a king, and a new king came into my life. He changed me completely. He gave me a new spirit. He took this heart of stone, a prideful heart, and he humbled me. He changed me. That's what happened. The prophets are good for you. The church needs to get a steady diet of the prophets. You need it. That's why it's there. Don't avoid the prophets. From the pulpit, from reading it. It is there for you. Because you need this King Jesus to rule over you and me. He is the one who's going to change you. Not yourself. Not your own power. Not your willpower. It's going to be him. It's going to be this king. And he's going to show you, as a prophet, he's going to show you all the things inside. The second thing that the prophet does, not the only announcing the coming king, but this prophet had a special ability to know the heart of a man. Not just the outside, but the inside. The secret sins, as though you were an open book. Idolatry. Empty temple services, filthy lives, no justice and righteousness. Let me read you another part of the prophet, and I don't have the slide up there, but listen to what the prophet is seeing from God.
Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 7 to 12, the elders of Israel thought that they were doing their sins in secret. But God brings their sins to light. 8, 7 to 12. And he brought me to the entrance of the court. And when I looked, behold, there was a hole in the wall. And then he said to me, Son of man, dig in the wall. So I dug in the wall, and behold, there was an entrance. And he said to me, Go in and see the vile abominations that they are committing here. So I went and in and saw, and there was engraved on the wall all around was every form of creeping things and loathsome beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel. And before them stood 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel, with Jezaniah and the son of Shaphan standing among them. Each had his censer in his hand, and the smoke of the cloud of incense went up. Then he said to me, Son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel are doing in the dark, each in his room of pictures? For they say, The Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land. Not only you need this king, what he's going to do, when you read the prophets, he's going to show you the things that are inside, the deep sins of your heart that you don't want to look at, that you want to push it under the rug. You know, I can't see your heart, can I? I can't. I'm not a prophet. So the prophets are given to the church so that you would read it, so that the prophets will expose the things that are inside that people can't see, that you need to deal with and take it to God. Don't take it to me. Take it to God. The prophetic books are a blessing to you. It's a grace to you. And so we see Jesus in action in this passage. He's a prophet. And look at verse 9. He says, Jesus told a parable. Of course, he tells a lot of parables. And to some, he said, who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, treated others with contempt. So already the prophet is setting the stage of his parable. People who trusted in themselves to be righteous. Of course, that's the Pharisee. Now, righteousness or being righteous is, next slide, is being upright, is being straight. Okay, if any architects here? No? Or building like a structure? Like this structure here, this church structure, the wall to the floor has to be perfectly perpendicular. The wall has to be completely straight. Okay? If it's like this, what is that? It's no good. It's bent, yeah. It's bent, but it's unrighteous. Okay? It's no good. If it's just even a millimeter off, okay, or inch off, you gotta tear it down and build it back up. A straight wall that's perpendicular to the floor is a good wall. It's an upright wall. It's a straight wall. That person is righteous. That person is acceptable to God. And what this Jesus, the prophet, does, he takes his standard of righteousness and he puts the straight ruler, okay, make sure it's straight, okay, I'm not going like this, and he actually lines it up to every person. Judges, and see if you're straight. See if you're righteous. Okay? He does that to everyone, to Isaac, to Les, to all of us. And he's seeing past the outside, and he's looking straight at who this person actually is inside. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing. Two men meant to pray. I mean, it looks like on the surface, they're praying. It's a good thing, right? One person, though, the prophet, Jesus, exposes that one person, though they were praying, on the outside, it looks like they're praying, good, doing something good, but one person trusted in themselves to be righteous, and the other person did not trust it in themselves to be righteous. And Jesus, the prophet, is exposing it. Who are you? If Jesus came and looked at your heart, whether it's prayer, it's everything about you as a person, what would he find? You look good, smell good, you're smiling. Some people are going like this. All right. But a prophet Jesus goes past the outside and see your true person. And that's what Jesus is doing with this two men, this parable. One person trusted in themselves, and one person did not look to themselves. Let's look at it. The Pharisee. The Pharisee, and I could say a lot about things about Pharisees, but let me just say, Pharisees were the religious leaders of that day. They were like the elders, the deacons, or the pastors. Okay? The people that will look up to for spiritual directions. And Jesus was exposing their hypocrisy. And now Jesus is talking to you to also expose our hypocrisy. On the outside, we look great. We look righteous. We look good. What's on the inside? And Jesus looks at this Pharisee on the inside. And look at what he says in his prayer. It looks like a pretty good prayer. And the first thing he says, I thank you, God. He's not even saying like, I thank myself. You know what I mean? His words are coming like, I thank God. Right? Two went up to pray. The Pharisee says, standing, God, I thank you. Seems like a pretty good prayer, right? Thanksgiving is coming around. We should be thankful to God. What's wrong with that? See? That's the surface. And Jesus is looking further than the surface, just the words. He's looking at the heart, looking at the intentions. I thank God that I'm not like other people, you know, other sinners, the bad ones. I wonder how many of us think that way. You know? I'm not like them, the rest of the people, you know? The outside of the church. They're like the filthy people. I'm good. You know, I go to church every Sunday. I'm not just a churchgoer. A small group, I'm involved in the band, serve, I come to church multiple times per week, I do all these things for God. Look, I thank you, God. I thank you. I tithe, give to the church, I'm not selfish, give to the church. I pray, I come to the prayer meetings. People who don't go to the prayer meetings, you know, they need to change. They got to be like more like me. And Jesus, the prophet, sees right through all that superficial and shows to us this morning who this man really is. On the outside, he looks like accomplished, doing the right things, supposedly. But not really. His heart is filthy. He needs to change. But he won't, because he's prideful. He wants the attention of other people, just like I wanted. Remember? It was my God. Man, as long as you thought of me as smart.
Geek? Yogi's a geek. I used to love that. Like, oh, that means I'm smart.
Thank you. Thank you for calling me geek. The Pharisee trusted in his own, what? Righteousness. There is a problem. There's his exposure. I thank God. No. Whom do you trust? Who do you trust? What do you trust? Success? Is that your God? Is that what's really going on? This is for God's glory, you know? I mean, all for God's glory. Is it? Is it? Or is it really doing it for yourself and using God for you and sugarcoat that? What's the truth there? And Jesus is exposing you, and he sees it, my brothers and sisters. He sees you right now. He sees me. What's really inside? But there's the good part, okay? Yes, he sees all of us and the true intentions. Look at what this tax collector did. Let's read it. The tax collector, and you know, I hope you guys know what a tax collector is. I'm just giving you a couple of seconds. Tax collector is, this time the Roman government was ruling, right? They hired their own people, Israelites, Jews, to get taxes from their own people. And of course, the tax guys were smart, you know. So they would actually bribe them and cheat them. They say, you only owe maybe, you know, $5, but you owe me 20. And if you don't pay me, I'm going to report you. And so they would take the 5, or no, take the 20 and keep the 15, you know. And so the whole people hated these people. Their own people hated tax collectors. They're the scum, the bottom rung. The tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, beating his breast and saying, God, God, have mercy. Have mercy on me, a sinner. This man was a broken man. This man was a humble man because he saw God. He saw who he was. He's a holy God, a righteous God. And this God showed him who he was truly. And he saw this God, though he was a great sinner, knew that this God was a merciful God. He knew that if he went to him, to this God, not any other God, Yahweh, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the true God, revealed in Exodus 34:6, Yahweh, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, forgiving wickedness to thousands upon thousands. If I went to this God, though my sins are great, He will be merciful to me. He knew that. He saw that. It was a light. Jesus exposes this tax collector and shows this man where to go to for help, for salvation, for his debt and sin. Not the Pharisee, right? It wasn't broken. The pride man, a prideful man. He will never go to God for help. He's doing well. He's doing good. You know? Tax collector was broken. There's nothing in himself. He's bankrupt inside. And he goes to this God. And at the end, look what Jesus said. This man, not the other man, this man is a righteous man. A justified man. Upright man. This man, Jesus is showing as a prophet, past the outside, truly on the inside, clinging on to the mercy of God for his sin. This is a righteous man. This man went home justified, pleasing to God. Yes, my friends, you and I are sinners. It says in the Bible, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar. And Jesus, the prophet, as you read the prophetic book, he's going to expose your sins. You don't have to tell me. As you read, God, through the prophet, is going to expose your sin. Okay? And he's going to make you, as this man, you're going to be ashamed. You should be ashamed. But he doesn't leave you there. You must go to God through Christ for help with that sin. He invites you. You understand? My friends, He invites you. He already sees you. He's going to expose you. He invites you to come. Come, broken people. Come to me who are heavy and laden. And I will give you rest. I'll forgive you. No matter what. Come to me. Is not coming to Him. That's why He doesn't like. The prideful people will not come to Him. They think they could do it on their own. Those are the truly humble people that run to God for help. This man did not trust in himself. He trusted in the arms of his God, who is holy, yet if you come to Him, He will change you. He will give you a new heart. He will give you a new spirit. He will cause you, give you power to walk this Christian life. The Christian life is hard. It's tiring. Yet, God, through His Spirit, then poured out into your hearts to give you power, to cause you to walk. You don't have strength. He will cause you to try again. You fall again. He calls you to walk, stand up again and try again and again and again until you get it right. He will cause you to listen to Him and walk in His ways, to be more and more like Christ as He prepares you, get you ready, changing you, sanctifying you. So you'll be holy and perfect like Him. So you can live with Him in His kingdom forever and ever. It's all Him. He will do this to you as you come to Him. That's the part. As you come to Him. Amen? That's true humility. Let's pray.
our great God and Savior. Help us. We are bankrupt people. We are broken people. And only through your Son Jesus, as a prophet and priest and king, wisdom will make us whole. Make us upright as we throw ourselves in the arms of our Father in Christ. And He will care for us. Will take care of us. Not just things in this world, but more importantly, to make us more and more like a perfect image of your Son and righteous and holy before you, pleasing in every way. Wisdom that we need. Oh God, help this church. Faith and humility to run to you. Give ourselves to you completely. I run completely to you. Oh God, make that miracle happen. Not relying on our own abilities. We have done. You wouldn't send your Son if we could. Help this church, I pray. All the leaders, everyone. May the kids, children, may they grounded in that truth. Not about them, it's about Jesus. Oh Lord, help us, I pray. May that truth be deeply ingrained in our minds and in our hearts. I pray. All this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ. Amen.